Hi, thanks for joining us for episode 79 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is November 6th, 2016, and we are recording from the Houston, Texas area where summer will not end. It is November and it's still in the 80s. It's actually a little slightly cooler than it has been.
Still humid though.
It is still very humid. I thought it was going to be less humid this weekend. That's what all of the forecasts said, but it's still pretty.
Well, it keeps threatening to rain, yeah, but it never rains.
Yeah, I got sprinkled on a little bit on my way here. I live about 30 minutes away, so the drive. I could see pockets of showers all along the horizon, but I didn't actually run into any. I'm somewhat confident that it'll eventually get cool enough to wear some knitwear around here, but it was only a couple of days last year, I think, so.
Yeah, we had a warm winter last year.
We'll see.
The year before it was cool.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm Summer. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns, which is SommerYarns. And you can find me on Instagram as the same. And I'm on Goodreads as, I think I'm just Summer. You can look me up. And the link to my Goodreads is on kitchenstitches.com if you want to check there.
I'm Katie. You can find me on Ravelry as Katie B. That's KayTeeBe. And if you go to my profile, I've got Goodreads and Instagram and all those linked from there. And you're welcome to follow me or friend me.
All right. So it's been a little over a month since we recorded. I have a huge pile of whips sitting next to me. Just a couple of FOs. I think Katie's got a bit too, so grab a beverage, settle in. It's gonna be a longish one. Pulling up my, do you want to start with your FOs? I think you said you.
I only have one FO, so we're doing FOs?
Yeah.
Okay. So my first FO is, a pair of socks for Socktober. I used, I did the knit along with the Carolina Fiber Girls.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Carolina Fiber Girls.
I used the Query sock in a special colorway that she dyed up for Socktober.
I love the pooling on that.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll grab that. Or I could get open my show notes too. It's an 80-20 sock base. It's her super sock, 400 yards. It's really pretty variegated. So it's got orange, like a rusty orange, a purple, a teal, like a cream color.
Turquoise.
Yeah,
that is actually, it is doing the, like, the spiral pooling.
Yeah.
And it looks almost self-striping. That's really cool.
And, like, some, you know, of course, since it's hand-dyed, other people's are slightly different, like, and of course, in how you knit it up, too.
Yeah.
Some people had a little more orange and stuff. I think it's really pretty. They turned out well. I do have size 11 feet. So I used 84 grams out of...
It's probably about 100, right?
I think it was just over 100. It was 108 grams. So I've got a nice little ball left. So those are really pretty. I do have pictures on my project page. I did toe up 64 stitches. OMG heel. The only thing I regret is I wish I had made the cuffs a little bit longer. But I was really trying to pound out the pair. And that first night that I did the top cuff, I hurt my hand for a day or so. So I was just like, it was impatient. So I haven't really wove the ends in yet. So I suppose I could always go back and pick that out, but I probably won't. And I need to go in and sew in the corners where
Yeah. That's not bad though. I mean, I can see the little hole, but it's...
And it's only just on that one side.
I've noticed that too, that on mine, one side always seems to be worse than the others. I think we're talking about on the ankle where you get the little hole.
Well, I finally figured out what I was doing wrong when I turn the heel, I, like, read the pattern and I finally figured out what I was doing wrong. So, like, I don't know if is it this pair. One of the pairs I knit has, like, an extra round or two in it in the short, in the short row section. But, But yeah, I'll weave the ends in. I, part of it too is I need to find my needle with a smaller head on it and sit in good light because it's variegated, I can't see the bumps.
Yeah.
I was trying to do it, and my eyes are kind of bad right now, so I couldn't, I was like, yeah, they're good enough to be in the sock blockers to take the FO picture. So that's all I got for FOs.
I have one, well, I have two knitting FOs and one spinning FO. I'll talk about the one that I didn't bring with me first. The hat is, the Twist and Pearl Hat by Sarah Bueller. And I think that was a free pattern on Ravelry. And I used hand spun from the Smoky Mountain Spinnery, or from some merino that I bought at Smoky Mountain Spinnery in the tartan colorway, which was a very dark, kind of a tealish, it was a dark green, but kind of a bluish overtone, I think, would be the best way to describe it. And it was just a very basic hat. I think it was maybe 1x1 ribbing, and then just some stockinette, and then a pearl bump it wasn't a 1x1 ribbing. It had a garter band. Stockinette, and then a row of pearl and some twisted rib and some more pearl, and then you end it. And it was, I ended up with some, I have a lot of negative knitting on this one. I started that hat and I got to the twisted rib portion and realized it was big. I knew it was going to be big on me when I tried it on my husband. It was big on him. I ended up actually recasting it on with 16 fewer stitches, so it was way too big. And as it is, I think it maybe ended up a little too short. It fits fine, but I wanted to knit with my hand spun, and this was, that it served its purpose, and it'll be a nice and warm hat if I can find it. I don't know where it is right now. I finished it. We went to Austin a few weeks ago. And I finished it while I was there, and it was a little cool in the morning, so I put it on, and then very quickly ended up pulling it off, and I tossed it in the back of the car. And I know we brought it in, but I couldn't find it this morning, so I'll find it eventually. My second FO were the number 2 pencil socks that I started 2 podcasts ago. I think I was talking about them. The ends are not woven in, and I think I actually didn't even... It seems that I didn't actually...
Did you cut the yarn?
Yeah, I didn't actually cut the yarn on this one, but I'm counting them finished anyway. This was really cute. The yarn kit was from Yarn Enabler on Etsy, and she's a Canadian dyer. And it came with a mini skein with black and tan for the lead tip and the wood portion of the pencil, a big skein of yellow for the body of the pencil, and then another mini skein with a tonal gray and a tonal pink for the top of the pencil with the metal, I don't know what you call it, the metal piece and then the eraser. And I ended up kind of cobbling together the pattern. I used the OMG heel pattern, the toe and the heel for that. And then I used Vanilla Latte for the body, and then just plain stockinette for the gray portion, and then a 1x1 rib for the eraser. And they turned out really cute. These are for my husband. I'm sure he's going to like them. Hopefully they'll fit, but if not, they're cute enough that he could take them to his classroom and hang them up or something. He would do that. So if they don't fit, I don't feel too bad. I am waiting for sock blockers so I can finish these. I'll tell that story when we get to enabling. But these actually took me probably about 2 months of working on almost exclusively over lunches and breaks at work. So that's not too bad at all. Then the final FO is spinning, and this is only half of it. It is, I got two skeins, I got 1,166 yards of fingering. Now that is not out of one bump. I had two braids of fiber from Three Waters Farm. It was 100% Poleworth in the Sky Behind the Trees and in the Light in the Trees. The Light in the Trees was one of the colorways for the Three Waters Farm Club last winter. It was probably January's color. And then the Sky Behind the Trees was a complimentary color you could get. So I decided to spin them both separately and then plied them together. This took forever. I started...
So it's 1,100 yards plied together.
Plied together.
So that's total yardage,
total yardage. I started these right before we went to end of the wall in September. So I started them in late August and finally finished them last week. And I ended up dividing it into two skeins. I got 544 yards on one skein and 622 yards with the other skein. And it turned out really nice. It's really pretty. It just took forever. And actually, I think that kind of decreased...
It's really pretty. Yeah. It is really... It's like, I'm like, what would I knit with that?
Yeah, I don't know. Really, so
It's almost like a sweater quantity, almost.
If I were smaller, I could get a sweater out of that.
Well, or find, like, use a brown or a complementary neutral, like an oatmeal or something for stripes or whatever, or cuffs.
I could do that. I think I'm probably going to gift one of the skeins. Not 100%. I may be talked out of that.
It's really pretty.
Obviously, the Sky Behind the Trees was just blue. Pretty. Blues and, like, kind of blue-grays throughout. And then the Light in the Trees was brown and green and some of that same blue. It's really pretty. And kind of a taupe. And, yeah, it turned out really nice. I'm really happy with it.
You're just not in love with it at the moment?
No, I was really tired of it.
It's pretty. Yeah. It's really pretty.
Thank you. I'll move into... Well, no, I'm going to let you talk about whips because I'll be talking for days.
I've only got really two active whips. I've got a couple socks that are slightly hibernating because I was busy working on my Query Fiber socks. So my Knit Circus socks, I don't know. I started on 64 and they looked big. So I ripped them out and did 56 and now I think maybe they're too small. So I may rip them out and just go back to 64 and do like 3x1 ribbing or something on them. I don't know. So they're hibernating for the time being. But the two whips I've been actively working on, because I want to get them done by the 15th of November. The first one is my Riley Rose Shawl by Jennifer Lassonde, who's Boston Jen. So I am...
Wow, you've made a lot of progress on that.
Like, two-thirds the way through. It's a three-color shawl knit sideways, or scarflet, big scarf or whatever. I used four colors, kind of similar to Emily Straw, who's knitting butterflies. She has a podcast. So I'm kind of using her color progression. So I'm using Plucky Knitter. I'm using a kit I had bought that had been caked up forever. So I'm using Princess Phone, which is like a golden yellow. Medieval, which is a charcoal gray. And then High Cotton, which is a light gray. And those are all out of Bello, which is so like 55% merino, 45% cashmere. And then Breakfast on Fifth, which is a nice, never know what to call teal versus aqua versus...
It's kind of a robin's egg.
Yeah, like a robin's egg blue. Well, it's like a Tiffany blue, because that's, I think, the inspiration. Breakfast on Fifth, which is like a Tiffany blue, which is on the Primo fingering base. So I am 3/4 of the way through. This is really kind of all I wanted to work on, especially once I got kind of in here, I could just fly through. I'm on the ribbing section, which is a little, slows you down a little bit. So
that makes me excited to pick mine up again. I haven't picked it up in a while.
Well, and then I got all the, I haven't been sewing the ends in. I need to sit down and sew the ends in since my hands are hurting right now, so that would be a good thing to do. But of course, every time I pick something up, my cat feels the need to get in my lap, and he's fat and takes up a lot of room, so. So that was the Riley Rose Shawl by Jennifer Lassonde. And then, for the Big Bad Bergalong, I had knit one of these. This is a Nangoo, N-A-N-G-O-U, by Melanie Berg. It's just a garter stitch shawl, shawlette, with rows of eyelet. I had knit one of these a couple of years ago in like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. So I'm like, well, that's something easy I can do. I'm using bubblegum, I'm using Plucky Knitter again. Bubblegum flower, which is kind of a, it's like a purple gray. It's like, you can't really describe it. It's kind of purple. It's kind of gray. And then, Cressy Road, which is one of my favorite colors, which is a dark purple, is the eyelet. So, it does take probably like a skein and a quarter. It takes more than 400 yards of fingering. So you do need two skeins or a super heavy skein. Obviously you can modify it, but that just alters the size. So I'm almost through one skein of yarn. So, a whole bunch of podcasters are doing a Big Bad Bergalong. So I think the cutoff is the 15th of November, so I've got about 10 days to work on this. And now the rows are getting really long. They're like over 150 stitches or something. So this will be my project here at home, and I think I might take this, the Riley Rose to work to have something to work on at work. Because that's, the rows are fast enough now that I can pick it up and put it down. Although taking that big bag to work is, I'll have so much in my book bag. So those are my only two, well, whips, not counting the socks that are kind of hibernating. That's all I got.
Okay. I have been, I've just been really scattered with my knitting, like with what I wanted to knit. I was, for a while, I was choosing one project and working on that for a week. But then I had so much that I wanted to work on that over the past, I guess it's just been this past week, maybe past 2 weeks, I've worked on a different project every night, which means I've touched a lot. But I feel like I've made a significant amount of progress on the ones that I'm gonna talk about, said it was worth talking about, but there's seriously like 8 or more projects down here.
Big pile of project.
Yeah,
then.
That's the show, the title. For the big pile of whips. Okay, so the first one that I have, what is, oh, right, I haven't picked these up in long enough that I couldn't even tell what it was. Okay, so this is a pair of socks, and I just have not been in a sock knitting place lately. Oh, wait, you know, let me talk first about the one that I didn't bring. I said there had been a lot of negative knitting, so I have been working on just a pair of vanilla socks using Rock and String Creations in the Appalachian Autumn colorway. And I, maybe the last time we podcast, I might have mentioned that I had to rip them out because they didn't fit when I got past the heel. So I picked them back up. I cast them on again with 64 stitches instead of 56. And I got past the heel, and I was really close to the cuff. And I looked at them and realized that I had knit the heel upside down. So, and I do the OMG heel, so, this would have been, the first time I did them, I did an afterthought heel. So that wouldn't have been a problem. But this one, I had to rip back a few inches before the heel. And then I re-knit them, and then when I tried them on, they were just a tad, I don't know that they were too short, but I decided to just do a round toe instead of the wedge toe that I normally do. And I didn't really like the way it fit. So I have one of them finished, but I'm not really sure what I want to do now because I'm not really happy with it. And right now these socks have some just bad juju. I don't
frog them and put them away for a while.
That's what I think I'm, even though I've already, you know,
let
already
it come back to the top later.
I think, you know, maybe next fall I'll try again. At this point I just don't even want to look at them. So those are in indefinite hibernation for now. And then I also have the, pair of two at a time socks, just vanilla socks in mustache yarn in the sorting hat colorway, which is, I haven't even made it through one repeat of the colorway yet. So basically what the colorway is, it takes each of the house colors for the Harry Potter houses. So you've got black and yellow for Hufflepuff, silver and green for Slytherin, gold and kind of a dark red for Gryffindor, and I actually haven't gotten to Ravenclaw. Actually, I'm just starting Ravenclaw, so I can see a bronze and and like a cornflower kind of blue for Ravenclaw, and it's really cool colorway. You've got a thin stripe of one of the colors, and then a thicker stripe, and then the thin color again, and then it switches to the next house color. I think, like I said, I just haven't really been in a sock knitting place. There's nothing wrong with these, and I think they're going to fit great. I just haven't wanted to work on them. Part of it may be that they're two at a time, and I may just need to put them on separate needles. I may just need to stick them in the car so I have them for as car knitting. That's tended to be where I had them. If I knew I was going to be in the car, I'd grab them, but I haven't been doing that as much lately. So there's that one. Like I said, I haven't even gotten through the full repeat. I've gotten through Hufflepuff, Gryffindor, and Slytherin. And that's probably about 3.5 inches up the toe. Okay, so there's that one. And then I have my color study by, who is that by? Color study is by Carolee Hardy. And I'm using Daisy Knits Hardy, which is a discontinued base in the Wicked Cool colorway, and Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in Boysenberry. And I've mentioned this one in the past couple of podcasts, I think, but the Wicked Cool has greens and purples of various shades, or kind of the like tonal spring green kind of, and a purpley. And then the Boysenberry has a purple that's very similar to the purple in Wicked Cool. I had some negative knitting on this one, too. I got, I had done probably 12 repeats of the pattern and realized that I had been forgetting to decrease at the center.
Oh.
So I had to rip that back, but I was actually really proud of myself because there's probably 200-something stitches on, maybe not quite 200, on here. And I managed to rip them out and pick them back up. I had some drop stitches, but it wasn't too bad to pick them up. I'm still on the main body of this, but I'm probably ripping it out. I probably have 7 more repeats to do before we get to the part 2, which is some short rows. And I think it widens up the stripes a little bit. I still like working on this. It's another one. I've been on the needles for a long time. I'm kind of ready to be done, but it's kind of a mindless knitting now that I know, now that I remember that I need to, need to increase in the middle. All right. This one is my Socky Slippers. So when we were at Into the Wool, I took a class with Nell Zaroli, who is Nell Knits on Ravelry and on Instagram. And it's just a little slipper pattern that's really, really clever. And with my little tiny feet, I finished one of them. It's actually a really, really quick pattern. I'm using worsted. It's 3 Irish Girls, Spring Veil Worsted, and the, I don't remember the colorway.
Petite Force?
What was it? Oh, yeah, Petite Force, yeah.
I say petite, but yeah. But Dave's like, Petite Force.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. but it's got kind of a chocolate brown and pinks and blues and greens, and it's a fun colorway. And it's just, it has, you just do a toe, and it's got this garter section that makes it super stretchy, and this little tab at the end. It's a very clever construction. In the class, the toe was a little confusing to start, but once you get started, it's fine, which is why the class was good. But I finished one of them, and I am almost done with the top part of the foot on the second one. And these are fun, and I could definitely see making those as gifts.
Such small feet, yeah. You could probably make like 3 pairs.
I could easily sit down and do one of them in a day if that's all I did. Yeah. If that's all I did, I could potentially do a pair, but I would get bored before then.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, actually, I picked this up last night, and it was the first time I had picked it up since Into the Wool. This is a baby vertebra. And I'm doing this in Neely's Knits in the Very Hungry Caterpillar colorway, which is, if you know the book by Eric Carle, the caterpillar eats his way through lots of different things. And it's the colorway is the colors from the book of all of the different things he ate. And it's orange, purple and pink and orange and brown and red and green. And it's a really fun colorway. It's not evenly striped. It is self-striping, but the orange and the pink are the thicker stripes, and then everything else is thinner. I don't know how it would work out in a sock. I was making the 0 to 3 month size, and I think I knew at the time that it would actually be bigger. I think my needles are slightly bigger, my gauge is. I measured my gauge last night, and I'm at almost 25 stitches per 10 centimeters, and it's supposed to be 28. I've got it backwards. I was looking at the DK. I think it's working up more to like a 6 month size, 3 to 6 months maybe. I'm going to have to adjust the length accordingly, I think. But I started yesterday. About 3 inches in, and I did probably about 4 inches yesterday, including separating for the sleeves. And so this is kind of flying off the needles once I put my mind to it. And the skein came with, or the yarn came with a separate skein of sparkly green that I'm going to use for the edging on that. So that's a lot of fun. I'm glad that I finally picked it up again. Got 4 more knitting, and then is it raining?
Yeah.
Oh, finally.
Finally.
Okay. And then I started A Star Shower by Hillary Smith Callis. I'm using Lazy Cat Yarns in the Whispering Forest colorway, which is a very dark tonal green. Looks like probably with a black over dye, overwash. And I'm not very far on this. I've worked on it probably a few times. Sometimes when it comes to the day that I'm working on it, it may literally only be a couple of rounds, depending on how much time I have. But this is a scowl, so it's kind of it starts out like a shawl, and then you will join and you wear it like a cowl. And I'm not even at the point where it's joined yet. I'm in section 2, probably not even halfway through section 2. So it's really, really dark.
I did my Adama out of like a dark maroon red, and I was miserable the whole, part of it because the yarn was flat, and the pattern, because I don't read charts, you know, it's a lace pattern, so things shift, so it doesn't help to have markers.
Right.
And so I need to just give that Adama away, because I have negative feelings about it. And even the hat I knit out of that yarn, I didn't like, even though it was a simple hat. I just, part of it, I think it was just the color. I couldn't see my stitches. And then the frustration of, I would be off I would be office stitched, one too many, one too few, and it actually turned out fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's mistakes, you can't tell.
Yeah.
But I just have such negative feelings about that Adama that, and I've heard that people say that about the star shower
too, especially because there's part where you're working the wrong side, like you would work the right side or something. I haven't gotten there yet.
You're doing something on the wrong, yeah. I don't think you do that in the Adama, but I just, no, I need to give it away because I'm not ever going to wear it. Someone else can love it because,
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Okay, then I've got the Gridolin, which is one of the patterns, and it's the third pattern in Hunter Hammerson's first Curls book. And I actually really, really like this. I'm using, what
are those cables?
It's not cables. It's a like really,
mock cables?
It's a, yeah. Kind of, oh, okay. You do that, like yarn over, knit three, and then pass the first stitch over the second two. So you've got this kind of mock cable. It's kind of like rings. It's very elegant looking, I think. I'm using, Schaefer Yarn Company Heather, which is a 55% merino, 30% silk, 15% nylon, and it's more of a sport weight than fingering. It's really soft, and it's in I couldn't find the colorway for this, but it's kind of a brownish, but it's tonal, like light brown. It's almost got some grays and some kind of almost pinkish brown. But it's working up really, really nicely.
And it's reversible, kind of? I mean,
yeah, technically you could wear it.
So it's like ribbed on one side and then that mock cable on the other side?
Yeah, it's really pretty. And it's
a shawl or a scarf?
It's a shawl. It's kind of like a scarf more than anything. If I get it done, which I don't think I'll get it done by Christmas, but it would make a really nice gift. But I've thought about, I know she doesn't listen, my dad's wife. It will be a nice one for her because I'm not really sure what type of knitwear she would wear, but this is something, I think there's just that little bit of elegance to it that it would make a nice gift for someone who doesn't necessarily wear a lot of knitwear. And then, let's see, my current hand-spun knitting project, like I've mentioned multiple times, I like to have something on the needles from my hand-spun. And I started this a couple weeks ago. It is the Lazy Bactus, which is a free pattern by Terry, T-E-R-H-I, Montonen. And the handspun is fiber optic, merino silk, and the raspberry to cream colorway. And it's a gradient. It starts out with a very, very pale baby pink. And works its way up to a very dark raspberry, and then it mirrors, so it'll go back to the very light pink. So I chose a pattern that you work to the middle and then you work back. Kind of like, something like the Riley Rose, if you were doing
that. Oh, okay.
That actually might have worked really nice in a gradient. No, because you've got too the color.
You've got too many different textures.
Yeah. And you've got color work sections, so that wouldn't have worked. But, this is the epitome of potato chip knitting because the pattern itself, it's only a eight row repeat with eyelets in the middle of it. So you kind of want to get I always want to do a full repeat. And then on top of that, you've got the color changes in the gradient. So I want to get to the next color change too. So I think I was at the end of the light pink the last time I picked it up and then worked on it for a day and got through one full repeat and then I've started the second. One color repeat and then started the next, which is kind of it goes from light pink to kind of a bubblegum pink to slightly darker pink. And this is really fun and it's super soft. So this is, I think, of the hand spun I've knit with, this is my favorite so far.
And those are singles?
They are singles, yeah. Since I don't know how to chain fly, I didn't really know how to deal with the gradient on this one. So It happened to be spinning up well enough as a single that I decided to just pull it and work with it that way. And I'm very happy with it. I'm glad I did that.
And it's a fingering weight?
Yep. Yep. And one more knitting project. This is, what is this? Oh, yeah. So I just started again. I started another very busy monkey shawl. I think this was last weekend. I started the Paralucia. Is that what it's called? Do I have it on here? Oh, I think I forgot to write it down. I think it's Paralucia. Let me check my notes real quick. It means butterfly. Or it is a, yeah, Paralucia shawl. It's a scientific name for a butterfly, some type of butterfly. But it is another, it's the bar, it's got a garter body and then a net on edging. And I'm still working on the garter portion. I'm probably about 2/3 of the way through the garter. And the yarn I'm using is actually yarn that I hand dyed. So this was an experiment I did with some, the first time I did acid dyeing. I've only done it once. This is the first time in Zip I've done it many times. The one day that I decided to do acid dyeing, I did this one and then I did one that was this color plus some turquoise. And I'm actually really happy with it. Looking at it, I mean, I don't have full color saturation everywhere, but it looks cool in this shawl. It's not something that I would want to sell, I don't think, but not bad for our first attempt. So that one, actually, I picked that up and, you know, it's just garter, so that kind of flew off the needles that day too. And then the last whip I have is spinning, and I obviously did not bring my spinning wheel, but I did bring one of the little bumps that I'm spinning from, and this is, I can never remember the name of it. Panorama Fiber Arts, who is local, right? Isn't she from Richmond?
Yeah, she's like in Richmond, yeah.
And it's Panda Talk, which is merino silk and bamboo, and it's in the Holly Jolly colorway, which is kind of a dusty blue, looks like kind of a spring green pink and a very dark reddish pink, which doesn't look very Christmassy to me in this, but when I spin it up, I think the blue is more muted and the red and the pink, it looks more like that, like the classic Christmas colors, like the pink and reds versus the dark red and dark green.
Yeah.
So it actually, on the bobbin, is looking more Christmassy than I expected. So that's it. All of my work's in progress. And I think the only thing that I haven't worked on over the past month is my Riley Rose. And I want to. But I've been happy with everything I've been knitting on, so no complaints. All right. You have any plans for casting on anything soon?
I am going to do an Ohm shawl, which is by Andrea Mowry. Is that right? Or
that looks right to me.
So I have the yarn, I soaked it to get out excess dye, and I had my houseboy wind it for me. So I will be starting that when I finish one of these two things. If not, I've got 6 days at Thanksgiving, so
nice.
It will be...
Yeah, I took off that Wednesday for the first time in a long time, I think.
The yarn ball better be out there on Tuesday. That was the only thing.
Oh, yeah. We are right on the Thanksgiving parade route for Houston when we're at work. And last year they had this big giant yarn ball as part of one of the floats. That was the highlight of my day.
I thought about that the other day. I'm like, oh man, I won't be there that Wednesday for the yarn ball. And
it's always fun because we get to see the turkey headless.
Oh yeah, the headless turkey. That's true too. Other than the Ohm shawl, I don't really have anything. I'm already worrying about what I'm going to knit for the week of Christmas when I'm in Wisconsin. That's like 2 months away, but you know.
You got a plan.
I got a plan. So other than the Ohm shawl, I don't have anything. I'm going to probably deal with those Knit Circus socks and my other Rock and String Creation socks. Probably a hat or mitts or, I do have yarn wound up for a state line by the Plucky Knitter. Mm-hmm. I don't know, waxing and waning on that, but...
Obviously, I don't need to cast anything on, but I may end up casting on some vanilla socks using Marigold Gin, self-striping, and the You'll Shoot Your Eye Out colorway. I bought it probably two years ago, right? I think it was right after Christmas. She had a sale, and I, for whatever reason, I didn't cast it on last year. And I kind of like some new Christmas socks, but like I said, I'm not really in a sock place, so it may sit for another year. Other than that, I don't have any plans. I just kind of want to finish some stuff up. What about acquisitions? Have you bought any fun stuff?
Yes. So, this is, I got three or four things to talk about. This is one of the Ninja Chickens sucklings.
Yeah, that's cool.
Maria, we met her at End of the Wall. Really nice. Really, really, really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I like her.
I like talking to her. She also, I can't remember, Fern Fiber is her other that she does with a friend or a partner or whatever. But she was experimenting with sock blanks using like dried flowers, leaves, you know, natural things. I think she even got into using like a pipe and wire and stuff like that. So, I got one of her sock blanks. Let's see if she says. She said it's dyed with eucalyptus, marigold, and onion. And it's just a standard sock blank, 75-25%. But it's, so you can see the outline of where the flowers and the leaves were, and so I don't know what it'll be. I don't know if I want to do socks or if I want to do like a shawl or something. It's very yellows and golds and neutral and green.
It's very autumn-y looking.
And it's obviously not matching because one end has a whole bunch of darker brown gray on it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if I want to do socks or if I want to do something different. We'll see. But I got that. And so definitely follow her on Instagram and she's been posting pictures of her experiments and stuff. So that's that. I happened to be online when Volenvine was doing an update, and I usually have ninja skills. Talk about, oh my god, these people are out ninjaing me. Part of it is I don't think she has a lot of stock when she puts stuff up. So I tried to get two or three different things. You know, I was logged in, I had a password, my account made, and I'm just clicking, and it took like 5 minutes and I finally ended up getting something because, she added more stock or whatever. But, I got a skein of Outlander on the Norwal base, which is a, font is so small, 70-20-10, and it's actually a superwash BFL with cashmere in it, 438 yards. It's a 2-ply sock yarn. So it's definitely, wasn't my first choice of things, but I wanted a skein of yarn.
Yeah.
But it's really pretty. It's very fall color.
Yeah,
so
that's what I was thinking too.
You know, rust and some dark tans and blues.
I really like the pops of blues in there with the autumn-y colors.
Yeah.
Reminds me of like leaves against that really autumn blue sky.
Right, yeah. So it's really pretty. And so that would make a really pretty shawl of some sort. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't use that for socks, I don't think. Again, talk about ninja skills.
I'm impressed.
This wasn't my first choice. I thought, I'm holding in my hand some lollipop. Again, I came across something that said there was going to be an update, and usually I have pretty decent ninja skills, but apparently not Not right, not anymore. I ended up, this wasn't my first choice. I had wanted one or two other things, but this is what I ended up getting, what's called We Need a Little Christmas. So it's Christmas yarn. It's four rows of holly berry tree lights and then six rows of angel. So holly berry is the red. It's in the Gripes base, which is an 80-20. So it's gray, white, green, and red. Mm-hmm. Self-striping.
That actually looks a lot like the You'll Shoot Your Eye Out that I have, the Marigold Gem. I think it also has the gray, reds, and greens.
Yeah. And then I bought two other skeins, a Lollipop Opti Stash.
Oh, cool.
From somebody that I've traded Plucky with over the years. So excited to try that. I still kind of don't feel like I'm an expert sock knitter. I'm still, you know, I haven't even worn any of the socks I've made. So I'll probably hold off on using that and use other yarns first before
break into the precious.
Break into the good, precious, more expensive yarn. And then the last thing to talk about would be I got some Plucky Shooters. These were a special that she did at Glamping, which was the retreat that they had in the middle of September out in Bainbridge Island at a retreat center. Fancy glamping or glamping. So these are like mini skeins or half skeins. So they're 200 yards each, and this is of the Primo fingering. This is called the Admit One. She likes to give all of her groups of things names. So it's five skeins of yarn. It's a red, a blue, twill, which is a nice neutral cream colored, On Guard, which is an olive color, and then she's just gotten into speckles the last couple of months. So it's small batch 19, which is kind of a light blue base, which has the speckles of the On Guard, which is the green and the red, the olive in there. So I think this would make a really pretty, like, striped scarf cowl of some sort. My only concern is this, the red is really bright. I mean, you can put them together. So you would,
maybe
I would,
something with like a really thin stripe of the red.
That's true. Not necessarily make them all even. That's a good point. But I would definitely, I would feel comfortable. I would have to soak this.
Yeah.
I would actually soak probably all of it but these two.
Yeah.
Just so they don't bleed.
Saturated.
Well, the reds and blues tend to be bleeders, so I've been fantasizing about what I would make with that. But that's a good point. Just do a stripe or two and not necessarily make it an even amount. So I thought that was fun. I snagged, she had these on reserve, so I snagged one. So
nice.
Yep.
So I got I had been holding off because I really don't need more yarn. But Jeanette, Bookish Stitcher, if you don't know, she has started a yarn business called Open Skies Yarn. And she had a sale on her first themed set, which was Les Mis. And one of the skeins that was remaining was one of the ones I had been eyeing from the get-go. And it was, you know, it was a good deal, and I wanted to support a friend. So I ended up getting that. It's the colorway is at the end of the day, and it has a burnt orange and blues and kind of blue grays, and it's really pretty. It's on it's 100% merino. It's a single. It's super, super soft.
It's like the lighter version of that.
Yeah, actually, I was looking. Yeah, Katie's Woolen Vine is actually, they're very similar, but I think
yours has a little more cream in it.
Open Sky is also a little more muted.
Yeah.
I think it's just the base.
Yeah.
Because it's got that, what's the word I'm looking for? The merino is a flatter
base. Yeah, and this is because this is beautiful.
Yeah. So. But it's very pretty and it's very soft, and I like to just fold it. It has a very cute little stitch marker of a cloud on it.
That is a cute stitch marker.
And then I also got my, what month? I guess this was It's either the October or November shipment of the Elemental Fiber Works, Elemental Dye Works. Visions of Space, I think is what the club is called. Does it say? It doesn't actually say. I think that's what it is. I was part of the first installment of the club, which was 3 months, and then I had to continue. I've only spun one of the skeins, but I really liked it, and I just really liked the theme, and I'd like to see it through to the end. So this one is Mars, and they're all based on postcards by, I guess they were NASA postcards. I can't actually remember now, and I don't have the information in here with me, but it's, all of the interpretations are amazing. I've been really impressed. So she takes the colors in it and then creates a yarn. And this has got reds and blues and purples and yellows and some white. I guess that's all. And it'll be a lot of fun. It's a Polworth silk blend. And I don't think I've done Polworth, but I haven't done Polworth silk. I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be really nice. It's super soft. And then the only other thing I have ordered, I don't have, because it seems to be making a grand tour of Southeast Texas. I ordered sock blockers from JD Craft Shop on Etsy. She was one of the vendors at End of the Wool, and she makes really pretty wood, she does woodwork items, but really pretty sock blockers. And I don't have sock blockers big enough to block the socks I made for Jimmy, so I decided to buy some from her. And they were shipped I think she says there's about a 2-week turnaround because they're handmade. They were shipped actually probably before the 2-week mark. They were shipped on October 22nd, and October 27th maybe I was tracking, and I saw that they were out for delivery on the 24th. But I obviously had never gotten them. And since then, they had made it to Nederland and Beaumont, which are both east of us. And then on the 31st, it's changed again and said it was out for delivery. And I still haven't seen them, and it hasn't changed. The status on that hasn't changed in about a week. So finally this morning, I filled out the form for them to find missing mail. And hopefully it'll turn up soon. It's somewhere because it's been scanned, so I don't know what happened to it after it went out for delivery. I kind of wonder if maybe there was a problem with the address. If they had it out for delivery twice and it wasn't delivered, maybe there's something funky. I don't know. Hopefully they'll find it, and I'm sure I have no concern at all that if they don't, then, it was insured, so yeah. I'm sure I'll get them. As long as I get them before Christmas, and I can get
other mail and other packages.
Yeah, I don't know. So I've never, and it's the same, it's my Etsy, whatever address is in Etsy, so there's no reason, I've never had a problem with an Etsy package not showing up. So I don't know what happened to them, so.
Well, it could be how, you don't know how it was packaged either, right. And the label could have been smudged or.
Right, but.
Package ripped open or something.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to getting those, and I'm sure that I will get them eventually.
If you need to borrow mine, you can.
Oh, yeah, I might.
The big extra large ones, so. Because they're too big. Because I used them for so I could get points for these, mm-hmm. and they're just a little too big for, so I did get the big size for Dave. Yeah, that's what
these are, extra large. So, as long as I get them before Christmas and can block them to wrap them, I don't care. If for some reason I haven't, then that is an option too. So that's all the knitting, if that's all you're interested in. I do have a little bit of in the kitchen, not a whole lot, and this is actually, these are from a few weeks ago, because I actually started making show notes a couple of weeks ago, but I mentioned very briefly in the last episode that I had bought an Instant Pot, which is an electric pressure cooker. And I've used it a few times. I'm very happy with it. It's a little bit, the first thing I cooked took a little bit longer than I expected because I hadn't really known how much time to factor in for it building up pressure and then releasing the pressure. But as far as cooking time goes, it's amazing. Just to be able to cook a roast in, an hour or an hour and a half. I think I did something that was 100, it took 100 minutes. Actually, I don't even remember what that was. I couldn't remember what I had made, but I remember doing something. Oh, I know what it was. It was French dip sandwiches. So you cook the roast.
That sounds and good.
And that actually, okay. That was one I, because I don't eat onions, it called for a lot of onions. And I think it would have been better with it. I mean, if I ate them, I think it would be better with them. I think it was lacking just a little bit of something, but it was fine. And it was a little dry, but that's a part of that is just learning to use the device itself. But I did pozole, which is pork and hominy, which was a really simple, like pork roast in a can, like a can or two of hominy and maybe some spices. And that turned out really good. We served that, with some avocado. It was delicious. And then also did a lentil and bacon soup. The first one was from Skinny Taste, the pork and hominy. Lentil and bacon soup was something like Dad Cooks or something like that. Another really good recipe. And then the best thing that I have found to use it for so far is hard-boiled eggs because it's super, super easy. You just put in a cup of water and turn it on for like 6 minutes. And then do a quick release. So it doesn't take any longer than it takes to boil them on the stove. And the thing that I like about them the most is that they peel really, really easily. That's the part that I have a hard time with hard boiled eggs. They often tend to stick. And I think it's just because I use the cage free, the fresher eggs. And they come right off. So I did half a dozen last week and ate them through the week, and then I just threw some on this morning. I'm really, really happy with that. I think we'll get a lot of use. I did find, for the most part, or at least most of the recipes I found, it should be good for a weeknight, but unless, yeah, maybe some soups. I think the thing is, it hasn't been hot enough. I mean, it's been too hot to want to do soups. And there are a lot of soup recipes that I want to try that'll probably take about an hour, which would be great for weeknights. But as far as like the roasts and things, they cook in a much shorter time, but it's still a weekend type thing for me. But I really like that. And then, my daughter's 20th birthday was a few weeks ago. Almost a month ago now, and she suggested something kind of like strawberry shortcake, but not shortcake. So I searched and I found a recipe for it was a basic white cake with fresh strawberries and fresh whipped cream as the frosting. And it turned out very delicious. It was not the prettiest sight, but that didn't matter. I probably needed a little bit more whipped cream than what I had, or needed to use less in the middle, but it turned out really well. The recipe was by Jenny Jones, and I just thought that was a coincidence, and then I started looking around. No, that was the Jenny Jones who had the talk show in the 80s. Jenny Jones? Yeah, she's moved on to cooking stuff, but I think most of our recipes are light type things, and this was, it fit the bill. It was a really nice light cake. So what about reading and watching? I don't have much, so I don't know if I have much of anything at all.
I can do. Let's see. So I have watched, Silk, which is a British TV show. Season 1 aired on PBS a couple of years ago, or at least aired here in Houston. Season 2 has not ever aired here, but apparently it's on iTunes or whatever.
I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever watched it.
It has what I call one of my fake British boyfriends, Rupert Penry Jones, who's this tall, gorgeous, blonde man. So I like watching. Watching things with him. I don't understand the British legal system, so I don't quite understand the whole legal structure. But the premise of the story is the main characters are Martha and Clive, who is Rupert's character, work in this law firm, legal office or something like that, and they're the senior lawyers, and they're trying to get what's called Silk, which is the Queen's Counsel, which is the highest, a super high level of lawyerism.
If we have any British listeners, I'm sure they're laughing. Yeah, so, but y'all don't understand our system any more than we understand.
So, Martha is a do-gooder who wants to do right by everybody and goes out of her way to help people and, you know, stand up for people. Clive's kind of a player. You snag something, you're going to be dead. My cat just laid in my pile of yarn that's on the table. So, season 2 came out on DVD, and I got that through Interlibrary Loan, so I watched that. I've been slowly making my way through the Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, which have also been playing on PBS. Shall I binge watch those? I'll watch four or five episodes of those at a time.
We watched part of one, and it was not the first. It's we happened to scroll by, and it was on one day. I think I would like it better if I watched it from the beginning.
Yeah, they're cute. Yeah. Her outfits are gorgeous, and she's just this very posh, worldly woman in the 20s, late 20s in Australia, who's her own woman and does what she wants to do, but happens to, you know, find herself in all these crime scenes and, you know, the dashing inspector and, you know, and then her little band of helpers. So I've been working my way through those. I'm in the middle of season 2. And then for books, as per recommendation from Sarah Hsu of the Create and Cultivate podcast, I read The Call by Peter O'Goolan. It's Irish. It's a YA Irish dystopian fantasy, I guess is how I would kind of peg it. It's one of those where it deals with teenagers who are sent off to a school. They're kind of sent off to a survival school. So what happens is when you reach a certain age and after, you can be what is called, where you at any moment disappear and go to fairyland, and you're gone in this world, you're gone for like 3 minutes or 4 minutes. But in fairyland, it's like a day or 2 days. Not everybody comes back from fairyland. Not everybody comes back from fairyland. Sometimes when they do, they're damaged, or they've made deals with the fairies to be nefarious when they get on the other side. So the main character is Nessa, who is actually disabled. And so she's 15, 16 or something like that. And so obviously her time to be called is getting closer and closer and closer. And so she works really, really hard to be ready for when she gets called. And so you hear all these other stories of the other characters being called and how, and these aren't good little fairies. These are the evil fairies,
right,
or bad fairies. So, Nessa gets called at a very inconvenient time. And so, you know, it was a good story. I would suggest it if you like dystopian fantasy and fairies. It was good.
Was this the one that Sarah said you have to read? That
yeah,
I've added it to my list.
I liked it. And the thing is when you get called, your clothes just drop.
Oh,
so you are naked in fairyland, and when you come back, you're naked. So I finished this book like the day before staff development.
Uh-huh.
And so staff development day, I'm walking in front of JIB by the bus stick, and there's a pile of clothes on the ground. Oh. The first thing I thought was that person just got called.
Oh, wow. That's very immersive.
So I enjoyed it because I kept reading, and I'm like, I was waiting for Nessa to get called, and I wanted to see what happened with her. So I really enjoyed that. Another book that just came out is called Three Dark Crowns by Kendare Blake.
I think it's Kendari.
Kendari Blake. It's a story of triplet sisters who are teenagers who were separated when they were like 6 years old. So the story goes is when, you know, as most of these fairy princess stories go, is when you hit a certain age, you know, you have to have a battle and kill your sisters so you can become queen. So, the story is that they've been separated since age 6, each in their own camps to develop their own powers. Once they hit the age of 16, then they have a certain amount of time to kill off their other two sisters to become queen. So the three sisters are Catherine, who is a poisoner, Mirabella, who's elemental, so she can control the weather, and Arsinoe, who is kind of a tomboy, who is supposed to control plants and animals. Who is it? Mirabella is really the only one that has truly developed any powers at this point. The other ones kind of have a little bit, or they've been pushed to try and have their powers. Like Catherine has to eat, every meal they eat is poisoned. And she has to like have these banquets full of poison. Of course, everyone's gunning for their person, for, you know, their camp. And then there's a big deal at the end, and so there's obviously going to be 2 or 3 books to this. It was good. And then I just read Wet Light by Jay Asher. He is the one who wrote 13 Reasons Why. Mm-hmm. It's a young adult story. It's actually pretty short. It's like under 300 pages. It's about a teenage girl who's 16, 17, who's grown up on a Christmas tree farm. And so every year what happens is her and her family travel from Oregon down to California to the lot that her grandparents had and sell Christmas trees from Thanksgiving to Christmas. So she kind of lives these two separate lives. You know, she has her friends and whatever during that Thanksgiving to Christmas season. And then she's got all her friends back in Oregon the rest of the year. And of course, she meets a boy who has kind of a bad reputation and, you know, goes to see, you know, is what was said about him true or not? It was okay. We were talking in the old school, romance book group. A lady had asked for some YA romance suggestions. Her daughter's turning 13 and wants to read some romance. And of course, everyone gave out Meg Cabot, and everyone's like, well, you know, just let her read your stuff. And we're like, you know, that's not necessarily appropriate. Yeah, they may sneak it, but so I threw out that I had read What Light. And while it's okay, someone brought up the fact that the boy does something violent. And maybe that mm-hmm. we shouldn't promote that. And I'm like, you know, that's probably a good, you know, that you have a good point there. So do keep that in mind, that just because he's a good looking boy and maybe he didn't mean it doesn't excuse the fact that he did do something violent. That's all I got.
So I finished, Liberty. What is it called? Give me a minute. The next Nevada Bar book that I was reading, where did my notes go? Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Liberty Falling by Nevada Bar. It's the number 7 in the Anna Pigeon series. It is set in New York City on Liberty Island. A girl leaps or falls or is pushed, or, you know, we don't know exactly, from the top of the Statue of Liberty, and Anna Pigeon happens to be there visiting her sister who is in the hospital, and of course gets caught up in it because otherwise you wouldn't have a story. And I actually really enjoyed it. I know it, I think it's gotten mediocre reviews. It's not one of the most popular Anna Pigeon books, but I really did enjoy that one. The next one up is set on the Natchez Trace Parkway, so I cannot wait to get to that one, because I grew up literally on the Natchez Trace Parkway. So, kind of home ground for me. And then I finished a book called Middle of Somewhere by, I just had it pulled up, I think it is J.B. Chaney. It's a, I'd say it's a kid's book. Yeah, definitely, like, upper grade kid's book. It is, I saw one review that compared it to Joey Pigs Has Swallowed the Key, which is about a boy with ADHD. And the main character is a 12 or 13-year-old girl, and she is primarily responsible for her younger brother who has ADHD and is, I don't want to say he's a holy terror because it's not quite right, but he's always into something. If, you know, if there's something that can be climbed, he's going to climb it. If there's something, you know, that he can get into, he's sure to get into it. At the very beginning, her mother is injured and she ends up going on a road trip in her grandfather's new RV with her and her brother. And it's their, you know, the story of, you know, it's a relationship building between her and her grandfather and, you know, that type of thing and how she's dealing with it. It was good for what it was. I'm deciding while I'm reading that one that I used to read a lot of kids' books even after my kids were older, and I'm just kind of past that phase in my life. I don't really want to. I still like YA books, but the actual children's novels I'm not into really right now. Which leads me to another one I was reading. Was called Emmy and the Incredible Shrinking Rat, which was also a kid's book. A lot of these are ones that I picked up at library conferences over the years, especially when my kids were younger, but then we never got around to reading them. So I'm trying to be good and read the things that I picked up. But this one was like from 2007, 2008. And it was really cute. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Roald Dahl, that kind of, you know, a little bit of magic going on, a little bit, you know, some sinister characters. But I got about halfway done, and I just decided I didn't want to read it. Nothing really wrong with it, it just wasn't what I wanted to read right now. And I'm kind of at a place right now where I just don't really know what I want to read. I'm still on hold for Ravensbrück, Life and Death in Hitler's Concentration Camp for Women, which I had been reading before, and I'm back on the waiting list. I'm next in line. I expect that I'll actually get that one pretty quickly. And I'll read that again. And then I've got the fourth book in the series, which I can't remember what it is. Drums of Autumn, maybe? That I pick up and read occasionally. I have a coworker, Steven, who has written a novel. Actually, really? He's written, it will be a series, I suppose, but he asked me if I would mind reading volume one, and I'm always very hesitant. I'm not that this happens often, but, you know, I was really hesitant, especially because I know he's been working on it, and he's told me some of it, and there's like a little sci-fi, a little fantasy type stuff, and I thought it was going to be along the lines of the kind of sci-fi fantasy that my husband likes to read, which is usually more, just not really my style. Not right. It's often really good, but it's just not what I am into. But I, you know, said, well, yeah, you know, I'd be really willing to read a little bit of it. I can't promise I'm going to read the whole thing because I have a lot of other things, you know, that I want to read right now. And it's like the whole, it's like 600 pages. So, but that said, he first sent me something. He thought he had attached it, but it was basically like what you would read on the back cover.
Yeah.
And it grabbed my attention. And so I was like, yeah, you know, did you mean to send me the whole thing? And he sent it to me. And I'm maybe 20, 30 pages in. And it's, you know, not to, you know, I'm not giving anything away and I'm not saying his name. It obviously needs an editor. But the storyline is good and has grabbed my attention. And I'm going to read enough of it to give him some feedback on it. I think it's the kind of thing that maybe once it's published and once it's been edited, I might actually want to read it. I asked him if he was planning to self-publish or if he's planning, you know, what he's planning to do. And he said he wants to actually try to get a big publisher. And I think it's possible that he could actually, that it could grab someone's attention enough. We'll see, but I was very pleasantly surprised.
Would never have guessed that out of him.
No.
I mean, I don't know him well enough.
No, but he's very quiet and kind of, I mean, he's, you know, he's nerdy. He's an IT, no offense, I am an IT person, but he is, you know, fairly standard IT guy. And it was, I was surprised. Like, the dialogue, it didn't seem like the kind, I mean, I think that's a good sign. You know, it's not like what I would expect him to say. It's what I would expect out of this type of book. And it's more of like a, kind of a, I cannot think who this cat is, like, all over Katie's knitting.
He likes the cashmere.
Oh. he's snagging. Not good.
Stinker. Okay.
Sorry. Anyway, it's, gosh, what's the, not crime procedural, but like, you know, FBI special agent so-and-so, but there's this agent portion, but there are, like, different worlds in different, you know, so it's like a little bit of sci-fi thrown in, too. So, very interesting. As far as watching, we have not really been watching much of anything. We've watched a little bit of Westworld. I've watched 2 episodes.
I haven't watched that yet.
I don't know if he's watched the whole thing or if he's watched... I know he's watched more than me. Eli was really interested, so we started watching it. He watched the first one, and then we watched the second one together. It's pretty good. It's, I mean, it's pretty violent, but it's not gratuitous. I don't think mostly. Every once in a while, there's something you're like, but, another kitty.
Patch is knocking on the window.
But I think that's, other than some podcasts, and I haven't even really been watching that many podcasts. We haven't been watching much of anything. I'm trying to think. I haven't even seen any movies recently, I don't think.
There hasn't been a whole lot out. I'm hoping when Dave gets home Monday, we can go to the movies this coming weekend and see Doctor Strange and maybe Fantastic Beasts or something.
Yeah.
I wanted to go see Girl on the Train. I don't even know if that's still in the theater.
Hey, kitty. We've got kitties on the outside looking out.
I think they're hungry.
Yeah. I did watch several Halloween-themed movies over the past couple of weeks. Jimmy's been busy doing other things, so I've been, you know, sitting and knitting. And I watch a lot of my podcasts on YouTube, but I was working on patterns, and I have my patterns on my iPad, too, so it's kind of hard to go back and forth. So if it was something that needed a pattern, I would watch something on Netflix. We watched Sleepy Hollow. I watched The Addams Family. What else did I watch? Lost Boys. Just a bunch of kind of classic, not horror movies, but slightly scary movies. Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah. So that's it. Let's see. 2 weeks from now is the weekend before Thanksgiving. I know...
I work that weekend.
Oh, you work that weekend. Are you going to work Thanksgiving weekend?
No.
Yeah, so maybe weekend after Thanksgiving. We might be able to get together and record again. But until then, happy knitting. Hope y'all all have... since we probably won't record again, for those of you in the United States, first of all, I hope you can get through Election Day, and we'll be so glad when it's over, and I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.